Welcome to Misanthropy Movie Blog's Plotopsy Podcast. Today, as part of the 15 Days of Bad Christmas Movies, I will be talking about the B-movie holiday classic, Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. To begin with, the setting of Santa Claus Conquers the Martians is a bit peculiar. In this universe, Santa Claus is an established, real person. There is no particular mystery or mysticism associated with him. This is fairly bizarre for a Christmas movie, to say the least. Most use the mystery surrounding Santa Claus as part of the story. The movie even opens with Santa being casually interviewed on television at the North Pole, where he, of course, has a physical workshop in the near-uninhabitable tundra. This sequence also features the first appearance of the character Mrs. Claus on the big screen, as Santa Claus Conquers the Martians predated Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer to the theaters by a whole 3 weeks in 1964. Santa also strangely forgets the names of his reindeer during this scene, famously referring to Blitzen as Nixon, who, at this time, was only known as the former Vice President of the United States, and the man who lost the 1960 election to John F. Kennedy. Part of the charm of Santa Claus Conquers the Martians comes from the horde of cheap effects used throughout the film. These include the kind of animated introductory credits, a man in a polar bear suit that makes the bear fight in Lou Ferrigno's Hercules look dignified, a cardboard killer robot named Torg, not to be confused with Torgo from Manos, The Hands of Fate, spaceships of Ed Wood levels of quality, and Martian costumes consisting of what appear to be spare television and vacuum cleaner parts. Last but not least, the Martians carry magic guns, capable of freezing or tickling targets, that are just recolored Whammo air blasters. Personally, I can't hold the fact that the production was frugal with effects too harshly against them, but the end result of all of these cost-saving decisions is pretty entertaining to see on screen. A lot of fanfare has been made regarding the inaccuracy of the title of this movie. Santa does not do any fighting in the film, and doesn't claim Mars for the glory of the North Pole. The more accurate title is Santa Claus in the Martian Civil War. The conflict of the story comes from a split in Martian society over whether the joy of Christmas should be assimilated into their lifestyle. The Martian elder Chochum warns that the children of Mars will become rebellious if they are not exposed to Yuletide cheer, a controversial declaration which sparks the initial Martian expedition to retrieve Santa in the first place, and plants the seeds of the eventual Martian rebellion by Voldar. So, if anything, Santa is a catalyst to conflict, not a space conquistador. Despite not featuring any real conquering, there is a climactic fight scene in the movie, in which toys are used by Santa Claus and the Martian children to annoy and distract Voldar and the Martian rebels until they are subdued by Kemar and his loyalist soldiers. It is a frenetically shot scene that needs to be seen to be believed, and is perhaps the most infamous sequence in the film. The leader of the Martian rebels, Voldar, is one of the most purely evil characters in the history of film. He not only convinces the Martians to kidnap and interrogate a pair of human children, but he also attempts to murder Santa Claus and the two kidnapped children on multiple occasions, including an incident in which he attempts to launch them into the void of space via an airlock. He is also established to be particularly bellicose and fond of war, at one point commenting on Mars's glorious past as a military society. Mars, of course, is the romanticized name for Greek god Ares, who is the god of war in both mythologies. Voldar also has a legendarily villainous mustache, just in case it wasn't clear to the audience that he would be the mutinous villain of the story. It is worth noting that the Martian naming conventions in the script are by and large astoundingly lazy. Four of the primary Martian characters are named Kemar, Momar, Bomar, and Girmar, standing for King Martian, Mom Martian, Boy Martian, and Girl Martian, respectively. One of the most memorable parts of Santa Claus Conquers the Martians is undeniably the theme song, Hooray for Santa, or Santy, Claus. It is absurdly catchy and features some mean trumpet work to boot. I specifically recall finding the sheet music to this in my high school band's archives, and despite my pleadings, we ultimately never performed it publicly. The song is arguably the best thing to come about as a result of this film, though you probably won't hear it on a Christmas radio station. Infamous actress Pia Zadora appears on this film as Germar in her first on-screen role. She was only 8 years old at the time. She is best known as a punching bag for movie critics in the 1980s, particularly for her Razzie-nominated roles in Butterfly and The Lonely Lady. Bafflingly, she also received a Golden Globe for her performance in Butterfly, a decision that is mocked and criticized to this day. At the end of the movie, it is decided that one of the Martians, Droppo, who provides much of the film's comic relief, will take on all of the duties of Santa Claus for Mars. It is never made clear as to why this wasn't tried in the first place, though. The Martians have a concept of what Santa does, and it is established that they have Earth television programs that feature him prominently. Why wouldn't they try to replicate Santa's work first instead of going through the trouble of apprehending the man? Who knows? The cult status of Santa Claus Conquers the Martians is iconic among So Bad It's Good movies and Christmas movies alike. It particularly took off in popularity after it was featured in the show Mystery Science Theater 3000 in the 1990s. The movie has since seen multiple adaptations to the stage, is often cited as one of the worst movies of all time in professional publications, and has become a staple in the IMDb Bottom 100 ranking. It has also inspired a spin-off novelization, and was even redubbed in Brazil as a drug comedy called Santa and the Magic Powder. It was re-riffed live by the Mike Nelson-led MST3K crew as part of a Riff Tracks live event in December of 2013, which was simulcast in movie theaters around the United States and Canada. As to the plotopsy of Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, what went wrong with this production? As I previously mentioned, the defining aspect of the movie is frugality, bordering on frank cheapness. That said, there is an honest charm to this film that has turned it into the cult classic that it is, much of which is rooted in those same financial limitations of the production. So, when it comes down to it, the movie's weakness is its strength, and it wouldn't be what it is without it. The cheesy writing is often also criticized, but to a certain degree that was unavoidable. After all, this was intended as a simple children's film, so cheesy elements were going to seep in regardless. Director Nicholas Webster did have success directing television, so he certainly wasn't incompetent behind a camera, though the failure of Santa Claus Conquers the Martians pretty much killed his chances with features. There are even some shockingly half-decent shots to be found in this movie, so unlike many bad movies, it isn't so much a failure on a technical level. That is all for today's Plotopsy podcast. You can check out more reviews at the Misanthropy Movie Blog at misanthropy.com. Also, you can catch up with the 15 Days of Bad Christmas Movies over at the Stinker Madness Podcast, who just covered Home Alone 3, the If We Made It Podcast, who just did Ernest Saves Christmas, the JT Movie Podcast, who took aim at Jack Frost this week, note that it is the Creepy Snowman one, not the Michael Keaton one, and Dark Corners of This Sick World on YouTube, which featured one of my personal holiday bad movie favorites, Elves, because nothing says Merry Christmas like a Nazi incest plot. Make sure to tune in next week for my next entry in the 15 Days of Bad Christmas Movies, which will feature the Hulk Hogan vehicle and fellow IMDb Bottom 100 member, Santa with Muscles.
In the season of Santa, there are two kinds of people. The naughty and the nice.
I've got $50 for the first elf that brings me Santa Claus.
Hulk Hogan is Blake Thorne, and he's definitely been naughty. To make his getaway, he's going to make a mockery of the world's most beloved hero.
Do you have a minute?
Fox me, you little brat.
That's him!
But sometimes, the only way you can feel the spirit of Christmas...
Where'd he go?
...is to be hit over the head with it.
Santa!
What? It's showtime.
Now, this confused bad boy is Santa, like you've never seen him before. A bearded basher of bad guys.
Yeah!
A hero with a silly hat. A Robin Hood in red.
Pizza! Yeah!
Who are those guys anyway? Oh, they're working with the Frost.
He's been clearing out the whole neighborhood, and no one knows why.
And he's got 3 days to foil a band of evil scientists.
Assemble a team. We're taking the orphanage.
Wait till Santa hears about this. He'll kick your butt to New Year's.
Santa, you slay me.
Hulk Hogan is Santa with an attitude.
Keep the milk and cookies warm.
Santa with some friends. Santa with a mission.
How are we supposed to get over this?
And most of all, he's Santa with muscles.
They can't start Christmas without me. Can they?
There have been many Santas.
You're not Santa. You're fed.
But there's only one named Hulk.
Well, all you had to do was knock.
Santa with muscles.